We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Isaiah chapter 43. I've had several titles that I've given to you. One was Going Forth or Going Forward, I believe it was. My subject today is very similar to that because I'm going to hook on to some things that I've already said, but My subject today is be willing to move on.
Amen.
Be willing to move on. Amen. Now in Isaiah 43rd chapter, I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. Pay close attention to the 18th verse, and I'll read the 19th verse as well. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That was a good place to shout right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're still in the early part of 2023, and I want to encourage you to move on from some things. You need to move on from some things. The Word of God, we just read it, where it says, "Do not remember the former things." You know what are you saying? What are you saying? There are good things that we need to remember. For example, your wedding day. Okay, I think I can count about four or five amens there. Well, I hope your wedding day was a wonderful memory. If not, I'm sorry. But you, if it wasn't, you need to move on. Now, I didn't say walk away from your wife or your family. That's not what I'm saying. Amen. But there's some good things to remember. The birth of our children. How about that? And you know, we could go on and on, and remember good things that happened to us in our lives. But it seems like those bad things is the one that wants to just hang on, just hang on like a pit bull, you know, just lock the jaw, and just wherever you go, you're dragging that weight with you. Those are the things that we need to let go. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I shared with you before how that you need to learn to cast all those things over on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, you know, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. What happens too many times is people try to do it alone. They try to get free all by themselves when we need God's help. We need the power of God being at work in our lives. Like I just quoted, 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. There's two things that we need to remember there, that we ought to cast our cares upon him, but we got to know that he cares for us. You're still here. God cares about your well-being. He watches over us. But he can only do for us what we will allow him to do. 1 Peter 5:7, well, I weren't going over there, but go ahead and put that on the screen. We were there the other evening, I believe it was, 1 Peter 5:7, but you got to get this in your spirit. You got to get it in your spirit. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him, casting all your care upon him. Now notice what it didn't say. It didn't say he was going to come down and take your care. The Bible says that we are laborers together with God. You hear me? We are laborers together with him. We work with him. He's not going to take it. He's not going to take anything from you. You got to give it to him. Amen. You got to give it to him. So you cast your cares upon him, because he cares about you. He cares about you. Say, he cares about me.
He cares about me.
He cares. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. So we got to learn to cast them over on him. And then move on. Move on. There's a song we used to sing years and years and, well, not that many years. I'm going back too far. But years ago, we used to sing, cast off those heavy bands. Y'all remember that song? Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy, shake off those heavy bands, lift up your holy hands. What else you supposed to do? Amen. We're not to carry weights, the weights of life. We're not supposed to carry those things. Do you want to die an early death? Do you want to wind up in the hospital somewhere? We got to learn to give things to God and move on. Hallelujah. Don't get all carried away over the mistakes that you made in times past. Give it to God and move on. Hallelujah. Now let me say this to you. There are some things we don't want to release. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some things we don't want to release. There's some things that I say we, some folks. There's some things some folks don't want to release. There's some old things that they used to do. They still want to do them, and some of them still doing them. I want to tell you something. You've heard me say it before, but I'm going to say it again today, and you'll probably hear me say it many times in the future because it's the truth. How many of you love the truth? I do too. Give me the truth. Give me the truth. But sometimes, listen to me, some folk, and I hope you'll say not me, but, you know, you don't have to say anything verbally so I can hear it. But some folks have what you call pet sins that they enjoy. They know it's not right. They know they shouldn't be doing it. They know they shouldn't be participating in it, but they do it anyway because it feels good or whatever. It's quiet in this house. But remember this. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Make you stay longer than you want to stay. And cost you more than you want to pay. Hallelujah. God is calling his people to holiness.
Amen.
You hear me? Yeah, I could come up here every Sunday or Wednesday and preach on how God wants to meet your every need. He does. But that's not all the Bible. God wants us to live right, to live a holy life, to live a pure life. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? And sometimes God is calling us to move from one thing to another, whatever that may be. And what I'm saying is, where we are may not be necessarily wrong, but God wants us to make a shift. He wants us to move. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Turn to the book of Hebrews. The 11th chapter, Hebrews 11th chapter. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to read a few verses. Is that all right? And I'll begin at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a what? Good report or a good testimony. Hallelujah. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it he became, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of those things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out. Everybody say, and he went out. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Look at somebody and say, he's faithful that promised. Verse 12, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland. Now, I read all that. Now, I want you to take a look at verse 15. And truly, and this applies to us today, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had what? You see that? Let me read it to you again. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Let me tell you something. You can always, in most cases, return to where you came from. But God called them out to a better place. Anytime, listen to me, anytime God calls you out, anytime God tells you to make a move, it's always for your good and for his glory. Even if it doesn't seem good, even if it's uncomfortable sometimes to the flesh, it's always beneficial to you and it's for God's glory. But too many times, folk will look back and say, hey, I'm going back where I came from, and they miss out on what God wants to do in their lives. It's time to move on. It's time to move forward. You hear me? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If Abraham had decided, I know he's calling me to promised land, but I think I'm going to stay right here with the family. I'm not going anywhere. Matter of fact, he's calling me to move, leave my family, but I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where God's taking me. How many of you already know 100% where God's taking you? Shouldn't be any hands. because God doesn't tell us everything. Most of us couldn't handle it if he told us everything. We couldn't handle it. If he told us there will be an enemy army in our promised land, many of us wouldn't go. Out of all the people that came out of Egypt, think about this for a moment. Out of all the people that came out of Egypt, only two made it to the promised land. Because part of the other ones were complaining about how good they had it in Egypt, when they didn't have it good in Egypt, by the way. They was complaining about how good things were in Egypt. Some was complaining about what they had to deal with in the desert, in the wilderness. They were complaining. Some didn't like the food. Folk hadn't changed, had they? They hadn't changed. And because of their grumbling and belly aching, they didn't get to go into the promised land. Remained in the wilderness 40 long years. That's a long time to remain in the wilderness. And it was all their fault because of their attitude. Let me tell you something. If it's anything we can learn from this, is we need to learn to adjust our attitudes quick. Amen. I remember Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, I don't remember all the story, but I remember him talking about, either I read it or maybe I heard him say it, I'm not sure, but God wanted him to do something. I don't know if it was moved to a different church, or I don't remember the details, but God was telling him to do something, and I think he was maybe struggling some financially. I'm not sure all those details. This is the point I want to make. He said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But the Lord told him, says, your problem is you're doing what I told you, but you're not willing. You don't have the will to do what I told you to do. And that's the reason your blessing's being blocked. And I remember him saying, I got willing in a hurry. Yeah, I got willing in a hurry. Listen, folks, we need to cooperate with God. Make that attitude adjustment to flow with God. Amen. When you hear the word of God, if it steps on your toe, if it's pinches your toes, well, don't get mad, especially at the messenger. Don't get mad. Just say, Lord, I thank you for letting me know. Thank you for revealing that to me. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to change. Going to change. Hallelujah. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all not still full from Christmas turkey, are you? Now, let me tell you something else about looking back. It can be destructive. It can ruin your life. If you don't believe me, take a look at Lot's wife. And that's found in Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. And actually, Jesus mentioned it in Luke 17, verse 32. wonder why did Lot's wife look back? Did she look back out of curiosity? Now remember, God told them to get out of the city. Don't look back, get out. Move forward, look forward, move on. Keep moving. Now, she could have looked, and I don't know, she could have looked back out of curiosity. Now, God's telling us to look back, and I wonder what's going to take place behind me. I'm just curious. Could have been, but I really don't think so. I think she looked back, and she had the same attitude some of us have when God tells us to move on, make a move. We begin to look back at what we have accomplished. Now, imagine Lot's wife. And I'm just bringing it up to today. But let's just say she had new carpet put in the house. She hung brand new curtains. Got the house painted. Got a brand new air conditioner. Have that unit. And not only that, she found some nice looking shoes down at the local department store. And see, I don't know, she bought, I don't know how many pairs she could have bought, but you know, I don't know if Lot knew about all of them. She got all these nice shoes, because you know, Lot's wife loves shoes. We just using our imagination now. Because don't go away and say, Pastor James says it's in the Bible where Lot's wife went and bought shoes, because it's not in the Bible. We're just using our imagination. I'm making a point, all right? You with me? I'm making a point. And she bought some nice dresses. Got some expensive dresses on sale. And she had her closet full. All of that was left behind. And can you imagine Lot's wife on the way out thinking about, I know the Lord's moving us out, but I can't get my mind off of what I'm leaving. We don't know. Lot's wife might have been a little party girl. We don't know. But whatever it was, it caused her to become a pillar of salt. Whatever caused her to look back, whether it was curiosity or whether she was missing the city or what she had gained in the city. Why'd I say all that? Because the same thing can happen to us. When God says move on, you need to move on. Hallelujah. And I know I'm talking to some folks. Do I know who they are? No. Do I need to know who they are? No. But there are some things that you need to release, because it's holding you back and it's going to eventually cause you some big time problems. God, if we'll seek God, he'll talk to us about areas of our lives or things that we're doing or things that we may be even thinking about doing. He will speak to us, but he won't make us do anything. Believe me, I've been saved a long time and I've made some mistakes by not listening to the Lord. When the Lord said, don't do that, don't do that. And you know those buts come in. But you know what? It would be nice or my friends would like it. And the Lord says, don't do it. Well, how you know the Lord told you that? Right on the inside of you. Amen. How many of you saved? Come on. How many of you saved? Amen. How many of you spirit filled? You saved and spirit filled. Let me see your hands. Saved and spirit filled. All right. You know what? That same Spirit of God on the inside of you is going to talk to you sometimes. He's going to talk to you sometimes. Because Jesus said that he would lead us, right? He would guide us, right? And he would even show us some things, even some things to come. And if God is telling you to release some things, you need to go ahead and release them. And stop looking back. Let's don't be like the Egyptians. The children of Israel, looking back in Egypt. Yes, they had some good things in Egypt, but my Lord, they were slaves. And God was delivering them from that bondage. Hallelujah. Let's not go back there. Amen. Now, there's some other things I want to tell you, but I'm not going to. If the Lord says the same, we will pick this up again, because it's very, very important. You can hamper your own progress. By not obeying what you know the Lord is saying to you. Everybody say soul ties.
Soul ties.
Brought down many a person. Amen. God's called me to love everybody. God's called you to love everybody. You hear me? God's called us to love one another. But he didn't call us to try to please everybody. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And we know that word will...